Blog Talk Radio.
It's indeed a pleasure to introduce this song and present to others the host with the most, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. They call him Coach, call him Doc, call him the Love Guru. Without further ado, let's present Dr. Low. Make it do what it do.
Baby, can we talk about it's like we're running a race with the heaven hand.
Damn, do I live like
you, baby? Steady watching the free, watching what they can.
Hey, don't worry about
that. Now God knows I ain't true, yet I get up every morning.
My. It's a blessing to come before you again. This is an awesome throwback Thursday. God has blessed us to be here to kind of share some things with you. I want to truly, truly thank all the listeners and watchers who takes an opportunity to just watch WBSW Radio, the internet station. We're number one. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and let's take a moment to just be thankful. Thankful for just being able to wake up this morning, start a day, and then be blessed to be able to listen to this broadcast, be interacted as a part of this broadcast. We want you to be able to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll make sure I get you on the live portion of it by calling out the last four digits of your cell or your telephone, ask your location, and you chat with Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. And every now and then we have special guests that call in, co-hosts that take time to give us a shout-out. And we'll just be excited just to have you. We're enthused because this is truly a great opportunity for us to be interactive. If you want to check us out on the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. Also, if you just want to go to Google search and type in WBSW Radio Blog Talk, and I'll tell you, it will populate with the voice of a Smith Wave production. We're excited because on September 27th will be our official six-year anniversary where we had our first broadcast because, you know, during the month of August, during that year of 2017, we was doing a little filling and trying to get it worked out, but we officially kicked off on September 27th. So we truly, truly want you to take an opportunity of our anniversary because we're going to be giving out some hotel stay to Dubai. We also will be pushing for Paris, France, along with the many others that we give away. Also, we want you to know that we'll be having a, in this month, since it's our anniversary month, we're going to be giving away tanks of gas. We're going to go to a convenience store. And we're going to talk to the customers there as they come out or as they go in or from a car and tell them I'm going to pay for your gas today. And that's what WBSW Radio like to do. It's the internet station. We're number one. Also, you can check us out by emailing us at LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. You can tweet the show at WBSW Radio, at Zeta Phi Sigma_10. Lorenzo D. Smith 15. The live broadcast that we have tonight will be available on Facebook. That's facebook.com/DRL Dialberto Smith. Instagram as well. You have President Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. And we're partners with the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Sigma Chapter of Greenville, Alabama. And the handle is Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10. Also, we're live on Tumblr, and that's at Dr. Low Smith blog. So we truly want to have an awesome time today. We want you to be interactive by sharing your thoughts in the comment section or have a question. You have the availability, push the button, you have a question that you want to ask and want to share in regards to our interactive platform, you can. And we truly ask you to me give a shout out to several that are joining us now. That's Aaron.Rev. That is Brother Reverend Pastor Christopher Aaron Bennett of Zeta Phi Sigma Chapter of Greenville, Alabama. Thank you, brother, for being a part of it. He's our financial secretary. Chapel Hill Sigmas of the University of North Carolina area. Thank you so much, Chapel Hill Sigmas. Miss Bush, EDS, member of the Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and also proud that is my wife. Thank you so much for supporting me. Love you, baby girl. Love you a lot. Thank you so much for being here and supporting Lorraine. This is Dunick Walker. Thank you. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I know that I've seen a post often, and matter of fact, I think she was running and ripping and just didn't know people were that she connects to Facebook. Sorry, the conclave. And you, thank you so much, Lorraine, Sarah Lorraine, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Cooperative, for being a part of this. Thank you so much. And just supporting. We also want to share with you that you can check out on-demand episodes if you want to go back and check out all the episodes we've had. We had a total of 647 interactive episodes. You can do that by going to Blog Talk Radio, along with Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Tumblr. You also have an opportunity to check out our YouTube channel. We have time to put reels on from time to time. Now, WBSW Radio, the internet station, we're number one, has listeners and watchers in 40 countries. We're excited because on the North American continent, we have listeners in the United States as well as Canada. And down, which is an addition recently, is South America. We had Brazil to join on. We had some listeners come out of Brazil. So we truly are thankful for having this opportunity to come before you. Today is Straight Talk, No Chaser. And you may ask yourself, what exactly you're referring to? See, when we talk about straight talk and no chasers, we're going to focus on conversation that is honest and very direct. It may challenge you in some of your thinking, but it's okay. It's truly okay that you have that opportunity. Also, I want to share with those listeners, some of the first listeners that's on here. I have several books I want to be able to give away. Matter of fact, one of the member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity has two books that I purchased after he was on the show. And if you want a copy, all you got to do is direct me or send it through that. And one of them is How to Climb the Mountain of Financial Aid. It helps you with all understanding about financial aid, along with the Family Scars. And this is Brother Trey D. Johnson. He's out of the great state of Georgia, so he's with Campany Publishing, and he's the CEO there. And his book, I will send it to you. All you have to do is send me through your comments on each one of the outlets, media outlets, or just send me an email, say I want it and I need it sent here because I want to read that book. So I do have that available to give away to you today. Each of y'all that are callers, that's first on the line, I want you truly to take advantage of that. Straight talk, no chaser. This is going to be honest conversation. We're going to talk about issues that sometimes we try to dodge. Our title for today's show is Relationships. Fear versus sign language. And what we did, we broke fear down into acronyms. And we're going to talk about what those relationship acronyms dealing with fear is. We took the sign language, and we broke it down into acronyms. And we're going to talk about each one of those letters in sign. So we're going to give you a true picture of how relationships have fear and how relationships deal and dabble with sign language. Some people may be asking what exactly you're talking about, but as we move forth through this, and our topics will focus on that, we want to truly give a shout out to one of our sponsors, that's TriStat LLC. It's a consulting firm that meets your need. What their specialty is they work with you once you have received and been awarded a grant. They help you to administrate that grant and help you to put in the final draft of papers to be sent in to the grantor so you can truly meet what they're requesting and how you're spending their money. So this is an awesome organization, TriStat LLC. Mr. William Scott is the CEO, and you can contact Mr. Scott at 334-320-5438. 334-320-5438. So give him a call and see how he can work with you. So let's talk about relationship fears, or the acronym of F-E-A-R. And we're going to address each one of them so you can think about what fear you may have. We can just give you being that the biggest phobia that you deal with relationship is that fear of falling in love. See, that's the biggest fear people have. They're afraid to commit. See, in a relationship, if you're there for the long haul, you're ready to make a commitment. But you must always keep in mind, you must intentionally be dating. You have to be intentionally in a relationship, and you have to say that from the beginning. I am intentionally in this relationship for a favorable outcome. That favorable outcome is marriage. And that's what you ultimately want to do. If you're already married, that's great. Then you did that process. But there are a lot of people out there that fear falling in love. So they take the position that I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody else. So what you do is you run from the opportunity to be committed in a relationship. You know, I know it's impossible for everybody to be committed. It's impossible. Because you have way over 2 million more women than men. And it's impossible for you to be in a committed relationship or in a relationship. But I always say it's all about choice. What do you choose in your relationship life? What is your outcome? Let me give a shout out to Shanice Ham Leonard is joining us. Thank you so much. Denise, I think I remember seeing you, and I want to give a shout-out for organization you might be a part of. So relationship fear, or the acronym of F-E-A-R. Again, most phobia that people have is the fear of falling in love. It also can be the fear of getting into a relationship, or the fear that you will not be able to maintain a relationship. It's too many times often when you're talking to individuals about a relationship, you ask them, you know, something about, are you in a relationship? How long have you been in a relationship? Then they always say, a lot of them say, and I know I talk with people, you know, I've been proposed to a couple of times, it's nothing 100%. So it's the choice that you make. If you choose not to react, to respond to the relationship when it's an intentional relationship that may give you a favorable result, then you're going to be searching for a while. Some people think if you get all this under my belt, then later in life I'll find somebody. You're already short from the beginning because you know there's over 2 million more women than, females than it is men. So it's kind of impossible to sit around and say that there's going to be one waiting for you. So that fear of relationship come into play. See, many people experience minor fear of falling in love. See, now we're talking about your relationship skill. How are your relationship skills? See, that's something people don't want to talk about. Relationship skills come from being in relationship. It is hard to develop the right skill when you will be in a relationship for what we call the long term, which is based on data, based on research. It's 2 years, 2 to 3 years, and it may not have been the best relationship. You walked in it with fear, and you was not able to be vulnerable, so you developed the ability not to operate. We did a show recently called Are You Fit for a Relationship or Marriage? You have to ask yourself, are you fit? And the best way for you to find out is to assess your past. And a lot of time, assessing your past is going back and being able to talk to some of those people that you was in a relationship with. Ask them, how did you experience me? See, for For you to get better, you have to ask these serious questions to see where we can be in a better position in the future. So when you have a fear of not understanding love, I don't think it's a fear of falling in love. I think it's a fear of not understanding what love is and what it does. I know we all have our definition. We even take the acronym of love and break it down. We know one of the key things, when the L in love is listening. See, any relationship requires you to be an active listener. How are you listening to when people are talking to you? See, love is all about loyalty. Are you loyal? Lovable at times. You have laughter. That's the L in love. That is that you? Is that one of your fears because you're not capable of allowing yourself to be vulnerable or relaxed enough to be able to experience true love or real love? The O in the love, and I'm talking about that because I always break things down to acronym, that O is overcoming challenges or overlooking faults. See, it's quick to fault somebody else. It's quick to say it's not enough qualified men out there. This is me saying enough women out there fit enough to be put into a relationship. It's easy to do that, but you're dealing with that because you're afraid of the faults that you have. You haven't overcome your own faults, and you haven't been able to deal with the challenges. You know, you try to overlook your faults when you know they are in there gleaming at you, and it keeps you from being committed to where you need to be. See, relationships that intentionally, where you're dating for a favor outcome, it requires things like being vulnerable. It requires you to be loyal. It requires you to have laughter. It requires you to just love. You see, these are the kind of things you have to do. Again, is overcoming all of these things that are going to come in your life. It is not a perfect situation. You have those fears. Now, how do we deal with those fears? We first of all have to know what the fears are. But as we talk about the acronym of love, you have to understand, what are your values? Are you out dating and you doing it casually because all you don't want to be committed, you don't want to be tied down, but you're in the process of building up your number count? See, one of the things I tell you, if you're out there a serial dater or a casual dater, you're not preparing yourself for anyone because you got too many trauma and traumatic experience you go through in different dates. See, but you got to remember, the people you are selecting or choosing to allow yourself to be in a date with or be in a relationship with is a reflection of you. So you look at like-minded people, people that you think the way you think, act the way you act. If you're a rebel, you will look for a rebel. Sometimes you call them a thug. See, these are the kind of things you have. So you have to have values. You have to have morals. This is something we have to focus on a lot. And the E is excitement. See, if you're not looking for excitement, if you're not looking for empowerment, if you're not looking for enlightenment, if you're not looking for those kind of things in being in love, then you are not going to experience it. You're just going to go through the motion. And you're just going to go to the stroke. Relationship fears. And one of the things when we talk about fears is that we have to kind of take the acronym. Then we have to look at the example. See, what are some examples of fear in a relationship? You can share by typing in what you think are some of the examples. See, being around paranoid people, where you fear that your partner is cheating, or the fear of abandonment. You know, I can tell you a story probably about eight years ago. I was dating a young lady, and the young lady would always say, and it should have been a big red flag, you know, that her thing, all men cheat, all men lie. I kept saying, she said, how can you put that on me when you don't know me? You said no, I mean, now I want you to say the small anecdotal group you have. may have cheated on you, but the all men, don't put that on all men. See, we have to be kind of careful when we are opening our mouth about the hurt that we have, the trauma and the fears that we have, see. The paranoid part of us we have, we think because one cheated on us, one lied to us, all of them, all the individuals gonna lie. We have that a fear of abandonment. See, people, we don't want to be left alone. See, then we have a difficulty, we have difficulty dealing with trust and more or less not dealing with building also trust. Because, see, I can't be trustworthy unless I'm strong in myself, having self-trust. I got to be able to trust myself. That big word called doubt. See, when one brain to you, you know, this is what they told me. I had to go out and do all this and get myself in a situation in case I get in a relationship, a marriage, and don't work out, then I have to take care of myself. That means you're doubting yourself. See, you're not doubting the people that you don't know. You're doubting yourself. You don't trust yourself to be able to build and grow. See? And when you're talking about in a relationship, and you're talking about one of those fears is that you have that doubt about starting a family. Start this family, is this person going to be around? Or is they going to leave? See, these kind of doubts take advantage of your inner self. See, it's fine to wear it on your chest and wear it on your shoulders. But when you start wearing it in your heart and your soul, you have some challenge. I'm telling you, when you spend your time worrying about what a person's going to do to you, you're going to do that consistently throughout your relationship life, your dating life. See? So we got another thing is a key to examples of fear in a relationship is that a lot of time we're coping with some serious anxiety about our relationship. We're stressed out. Am I going to be successful? Is he going to like me? Is he going to leave me? Is she going to leave me? You're not secure yourself. You're not secure in being who you are. Because when you bring it to the table, you need to have a purpose. You have to have an understanding. See, dating without a purpose is a waste of your time and the other individual time as well. You have to have a purpose. So having a purpose alleviates a lot of the anxiety you may have and stress. Also, you have to remember, some of us fear our total understandable. It's okay for you to have a fear. But I always tell people that means you are not healed. You're not capable of being in a relationship, especially a committed relationship. You need to seek the support. You need to seek the therapy. You need to seek the counseling so you can heal. See, one of the worst things to have people out here in the dating world and haven't healed yet. You come sometimes call it baggage, you know, bringing baggage from the previous relationship. I call it you bringing a sense of feelings, a sense of fear to the point that you are not capable of living in reality. Reality relies you to be real about who you are and whom you are. This is something you have to focus on. So when we're talking about relationship fears and examples, we're just talking about you have to be able to, you know, put yourself in a position that you understand yourself. Because, again, we operate from our heart and from our soul. Those are two places we operate from. And too many times we have individuals who are not capable of operating in that manner. But you have to say that, and you have to seek the help so you can be successful. I want to give a shout-out to one of our sponsors because, see, they pay some bills around here. I just mentioned Tristat LLC, but we want to give a shout-out to L&T Lawn Service, And that's L&T Starworth Lawn Service, LLC. That's right, hard work. Check out L&T Starworth Lawn Service, LLC, the manicure expert in South Central Alabama. For more information, call Mr. Tony Starworth at 334-300-7401. Again, that's 334-300-7401. Or just go to Facebook and check out Anthony Starworth. DM Anthony and he can connect with you. So we look forward to making it do what it do. Give a shout out to L&T Starworth Lawn Service, LLC, and you listen to that brand, it's hard work. We're going to come to your house, we're going to do our best job, we're going to give you some hard work, and we're going to have a manicure area that we complete. That's what they're focusing on. Give Anthony Starworth a call at 334-300-7401. Let's talk about the relationship fear and the acronym for fear. I thought it was important that when we talk about topics, especially during relationship, we ought to take things and break it down. I just mentioned biggest fear is a phobia that you may fall in love. It's not the worst thing in the world to happen, but sometimes people are so fearful that it can't be the best thing for them. So it can be good for you if you put yourself in a position that you'll have a purpose for being in the dating scene, have a purpose being intentional, being in a relationship. Don't let people take it for granted. And you can't build your skills so you can overcome the health and fear unless you're out there making dating and having a purpose for dating, purpose for wanting to be in a relationship. Because you're in relationships all forms. You're in a relationship truly, truly with your family. You're in a relationship with your friends. You're in a romantic relationship with someone you may be interested in. You're in a relationship at work. You're in a relationship at church. You're in a relationship in a city group, in organizations. You're in a relationship in all forms. If your skills and your health is in the play out of fear, it's going to affect all those other areas. You're going to begin to not trust people. And that's your fright of making a decision because you don't know what the outcome, whether it's going to be positive or negative. If you're doing it on purpose, if you're dating with an intention, that elf will not frighten you. But that's what the elf is in the relationship fear acronym. That's relationship fear is an acronym. You have to always keep in mind that the fear of commitment, the fear of failing are the two major parts when you're talking about fright. See, you're so scared to death that I might fail. So I'll go do something to make sure if I fail, I can stay up on my feet. Sometimes we're going to have to fall down so we get up, as the song said. We fall down so we can get up. Because as long as we're above ground, we'll be able to do what we need to do. So you're so frightened of commitment. You're so frightened and fearful of failing that you won't even attempt to get out there. And when you get out there, you're coming with the baggage or either a wall build up in your internal. But see, walls people can't see because it is an internal thing. You put a wall around your heart. You put a wall around your soul. So you're so afraid to allow yourself to be vulnerable to experience what love can offer you. That's what you're so fearful of. See, and also the elf relating when you said frightened, the fear of intimacy. See, we have the wrong definition. That's why we have to spend time talking about what exactly is intimacy. See, too many times, the first time you say intimacy, you're thinking about sexual. See, intimacy comes in many forms. I'm going to give you, for example, one good form is. Intimacy is if you're in a relationship with someone. And everybody have identified roles. That's the thing about we're scared to put roles on people. You have to. You have the role as a male to be a provider and a protector, priest, a prophet. And as a female, you have to be in a position to be cooperative, agreeable, friendly. See? You have to be able to put yourself in that position. But when you put those walls up, you cannot experience that. So how are you going to experience intimacy with simply holding hands with the person you truly, truly care about? I don't care if it's in your family. If you are fear of what may happen, you got the fear of a phobia that you show, then you're not going to be comfortable holding your own family member's hand. You're not going to even have a comfortable hugging your own family. You know, when I hear people say this, it really concerns me. When you talk about affection, the first thing they say, well, I really, you know, don't know how to be affectionate because it hadn't been shown to me before. See, we can always start something new, but you have to try. You have to make an effort. You can't let that phobia and anxiety of the baggage from the previous relationship stop you from really enjoying life and being the best version of yourself. See, if you have a social phobia and you have anxiety disorder, see, that's the problem. When people's dealing with a lot of anxiety, it becomes a disorder. I always said I worked in public education for a lot of years, 30 plus years. And children that just cannot handle themselves have a behavior disorder, and it needs to be addressed. And one of the things I fight with anybody is about medicine. I don't think medicine is the best thing. Sometimes it's putting in some type of order into their life. See, they don't have a structure setting. They don't have order in their life. They're free to do what they want to. So by being a social phobia and an anxiety disorder, it results in a difficult form of close relationship with someone else or another person. See, that's what a lot of times happens. See, the term a lot of time refers to, and I always tell people, it refers to a type of adult attachment theory psychology, and it's pretty much saying that you have a problem attaching with people. You have a problem allowing yourself to be affectionate. It is, and it comes back with something that was traumatic that you never got addressed. You could be walking around here 30 years old and never address something that happened when you was younger. See, we have to take time and unpack some of this stuff so we can be successful. So the L focus on attachment. The L focus on social phobia. The L focus on anxiety disorder. The F focus on the fear of commitment or frightened to be committed or the fear of failing. That is the F in the relationship fear. The next thing is the E. See, this one is one you're really going to have to think about. See, it's your emotional intelligence. We sometimes call it the emotional cue. See, and it's you having the ability, if you lack this ability, to understand, use, and manage your own emotion in a positive way that allows you to release stress, allows you to deal with anxiety, allows you to deal with communication. It allows you to deal with self-awareness. It allows you to deal with self-management. It allows you to deal with social awareness. It allows you to deal with relationship. That's what the emotional intelligence is. I didn't say a IQ. I said a EQ, which is emotional intelligence. Where are you? Are you capable of managing? Are you capable of understanding that you have some challenges that you must be able to address? Are you capable of understanding that you need to be aware of how you perform and how you act and how you are in relationship? So it's all about those. I just mentioned some things that always relate to self. See, all things have self has its hand on. For example, I said self-awareness. Are you aware of your environment and your surroundings? Are you aware of yourself and your behavior? Are you aware? So that's called self-awareness, self-management. Is it possible for you to manage yourself on an emotional well-being realm? Are you capable of understanding that your emotional well-being must be mature enough so you can be in a relationship? See, some people are not even able to identify what falls under emotion. They say emotions and feelings is the same thing. Feelings fall under emotions, forms of emotion. They try to make emotions and feelings the same thing. It means the same thing, and truly it is part of the emotional cue. Give a shout out to my frat brother in the great state of South Carolina, Brother Bruce E. DeWall Jr. Thank you, brother, so much for joining. I pray that things are really on the upswing for you. Brothers, truly do. I'm going to give you truly a blue five and tell you, you know, my brother. Keep hanging in there. Keep doing what you're doing. And Brother Smith is praying for you down here. Also, we got Saint Youngblood. Saint Youngblood is joining us. We give her a wave. Thank you so much for being a part of this. So work extremely hard on building up your emotional cue. See, that's your ability to understand, ability to use, and manage your own emotions. That means manage your feelings, manage your anger, manage your grief. These are forms of emotions. You cannot be in a relationship and be genuine with people when you're not able to control yourself or manage your behavior. It's impossible. So the E is emotional intelligence. Emotional Q, they call it. The A in fear, emotional fear acronym. The A is attitude. Your attitude will determine your aptitude. See, if you have an attitude, it's going to always impact the way we communicate. See, have you just talked to some people sometime who has just stuck on having the attitude? No matter if somebody correct them and share with you and you make the adjustment, they just, the way they talk to you, they figure they're talking to you normally, but they're talking with so much aggressiveness, with so much attitude, that they don't realize this leads you to be argumentative with people. So the A also talks about being argumentative. Is that you? The reason you're not in a relationship because you are argumentative. You're not agreeable. So you're disagreeable by nature. And you can correct that. All you have to do is seek the right support through counseling, through being a therapist, seeing a therapist, and just seek the help to make sure you can function in a manner so you'll have a favorable outcome. See, maintaining what you should always do is a positive attitude can lead to more constructive and supportive communication. But when you have that negative attitude, it creates conflict. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that is the biggest challenge in a relationship is conflict resolution. See, we're going to have conflict. How do we resolve it? And a relationship is just dealing with people on a job, and you have a relationship all form. If you have a negative attitude, you argumentative, you're going to have truly a challenge dealing with conflict. And most of the time, you're going to lead toward miscommunications. That's going to be within the relationship. And I'm not always talking about romance. I'm talking about all the relationship. See, it's important if you work at a car manufacturer. They have you broken down in teams, and they call it assembly line. You have a team of five. You have to be able to communicate. You can't walk around with an attitude. You can't walk around and be argumentative with those people on your team. Each of y'all are trying to, it's depending on the other person. A relationship you are developing in that team, and that team has to work in a manner without people having attitudes. Now, if you got off on the wrong side of the bed, like they used to say a long time ago, and you got an attitude when you come to work, you need to leave that attitude at the door. Because when you come to the team, there's no time to have an attitude. Because you're trying to work so you can have a success through communication, through having an impact on your success in the company. This is what you have to work on. You truly have to make sure you spend time not arguing with people. See, it's all right to have a healthy debate. There's a difference between an argument and a healthy debate. There's a difference between being a healthy debater and someone who's argumentative. You have to understand it. Don't let yourself fall into that trap, because you truly can fall into that trap. If that's your attitude, or do you have an attitude? Are you argumentative? Most of the time, if you argumentative, I'm going to just say this, and you can put it in your peace pipe and smoke it. You are truly, truly insecure. If you got to argue about everything, you got to fight everything, you are insecure in who you are. If you're one of those persons, you need to take a time and assess yourself. Take time. Assess yourself for pros and cons in regard to that, and see how you fare. And then seek the support to help you be more successful in communicating and successful in life. That's truly what you're looking for. You're looking for success in order to use communication. And truly, I need for you to make sure you do that. I want to give a shout out to our next sponsor. That's Mary Ruth's Restaurant out of Georgiana, Alabama, and they have a promo, and I want to pay it.
Are you looking for home-cooked food in a family-friendly environment? Well, look no further than Mary Ruth's.
Mary Ruth's Restaurant.
Located at 261 State Highway 106 in beautiful Georgiana, Alabama.
Great food in a family-friendly environment.
Mary Ruth's Restaurant offers home-cooked breakfast. All the fixings, you name it, they've got it. And not just home-cooked breakfast. Home-cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Mary Ruth's Restaurant specializes in a meat and three vegetables meal.
In meat and three.
Also, home-cooked hamburgers, Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, and much, much more. Seafood lovers,
Mary Ruth's Restaurant has seafood Fridays.
Barbecue Saturday, and it's all caught fresh and made from scratch, including the desserts and so much more. Mm-mm good. Stop by 261 West State Highway 106 in Georgiana. Mary Ruth's Restaurant. Call today, 334-362-4032. That's 334-362-4032. Mary Ruth's Restaurant. Home-cooked meals, family-friendly environment, great food. Who could ask for more in a restaurant? Mary Ruth's Restaurant in Georgiana. Breakfast from 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. Monday through Saturday. Lunch from 11 until 2. And dinner from 5 until 9. Barbecue Saturdays begin at 11 a.m. and last until 9. Mary Ruth's Restaurant in Georgiana. Home-cooked food with a family-friendly environment. Come on by. Sunday dinner from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m.
Truly, truly, shout out to Mary Ruth's Restaurant, Ruth's Restaurant in Georgiana, Alabama. It's the best southern food in Alabama. And if you are interested in stopping in, you can give them a call. You can give the owners, their co-owners there. You have a husband and a wife, member of the Blue and White family. You have a brother Marvin Lala Smith of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated and his wife, Sara Pastor Katrina Roper Smith of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. You can give them a call at 334-549-0950. That's again, 334-549-0950. Give them a shout out. If you're traveling and you're traveling through, for example, from the north, the east, St. Louis, as far as 65, Interstate 65 going in and ended in Mobile, Alabama, you can travel through there and you'll run across a big billboard in Greenville, Alabama, and you'll see Mary Ruth's restaurant, and you can check them out. They give you the direction. They're really located on Highway 106 West in Georgiana, Alabama. So truly call them, let them know, and if you're in Alabama visiting family and friends, you can drive down there and have an awesome meal at their restaurant. The last letter in fear dealing with relationship is resentment. Are you resenting things or resenting your past? You was in a relationship, it was toxic, so you resent relationships now. And you may ask yourself, that's a fear. So when you're talking about resentment, which can sneak up on you now, you have to be kind of careful because resentment can sneak up on you. Even in the most committed couples, you can get to a point where you may resent your mate, your spouse. Because, see, resentment is an emotional response. Remember we were talking about what falls on emotion? Resentment is one of the things. See, when you have resentment towards someone, you perceive them as treating you unfair or unjust. And you feel like in a relationship, your partner have done you wrong. They're undervaluing you. See, sometimes we spend so much time competing with one another as spouses and as a boyfriend and girlfriend and in dating or in relationship that we forget that the value we place on ourselves is not always the value other people place on you. You have to make sure you understand your value and not let someone else dictate what's your value. See, resentment sometimes can cause your partner to become distant, uncommunicative, and passive aggressive. That's what you end up doing. They don't want to communicate. They step back. They want to take time to go and think about it. And sometimes they say process. It's really truly is their passive aggressiveness. They're stepping back. Now they can get themselves up so they can come back. See, they kind of creating a resentment for you. And there are some signs that you need to watch out for in relationship. See, which may include starting to feel detached from your relationship. That's resentment. Avoiding talking about the real issue. Feeling like and non-existent. That's resentment. That's how you're getting them back. I'm going to make them pay for it because I know this is part of, you know, what our marriage is, and affection is mandatory, especially deep affection. Intimacy is mandatory, so I'm limited or they're not going to get in. You know that could create something very dangerous. We always have to feel what we do. We have to reap what we sow sometimes. The question that I want to ask, what resentment does to a relationship? What do you think resentment does to a relationship? If resentment is not checked and is left unchecked, the couple of the couples will feel as they are drifting apart and no longer identify each other as the primary person in their life. That's what resentment will do to you in your relationship. Now you are here seeking someone else to replace that. You will not be willing to work on it. But if you come to that point, you need to have a conversation, and if it's not comfortable with you, you need to step away. Don't sit around and keep resenting that person, because that emotion will be detrimental on your relationship. It's going to bring out some feelings that are not good. It's going to lead you to behavior against your partner or against your spouse that you will not be comfortable in your relationship or your marriage. These are the things you need to focus on because it's so important. The fear. I call it an acronym, and it's relationship fear, which is our acronym. Being frightened, your emotional intelligence or emotional cue. Being argumentative, I have attitude. A resentment, which is the R. That's relationship fear. That's why you fear falling in love. That's why you fear intimacy. You fear that you have to give up something that you can't afford to give up. To maintain a relationship, you have to put that in the area that you can remove it from you and allow yourself to be vulnerable so you can experience life. Because life is filled with some excitement, especially when you know what love is and love does. Do you know that? Truly, you need to think about what you need to do. Next sponsor, we want to give a shout out, and we'll go to the final segment. And this is a shout out to Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace. And truly, truly, some sweet smells of perfume and soap. If you want to purchase some of the best soap and perfume scents in South Central Alabama, contact Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace. The owner is Miss Jennifer Jackson. Contact number 251-369-1344, or go to Facebook. Type in Jennifer with one N, Jackson, or Charlie's Angel. There are several items like Bombshell, Chance of a Lifetime, Luddy's Lover, Straight Savage, Manpower, Goat Milk Lotion, and Coming Lavender Sea Salt. So please check her out. Again, that number is 251-369-1344. Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace. Again, I tell you now, truly, truly, God has blessed us to be able to understand that when someone creates an opportunity to be in business. Soap Gym for Jackson and Grace. I give them an awesome shout out. You can go to Facebook and type in Jennifer Jackson or Charlie's Angel, or give them a call at 251-369-1344. That's Jennifer Jackson, Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace. Truly, truly, the call-in number is 347 4192. If you just want to listen to the show, you have that opportunity. But if you have a question or comment, all you have to do is push number one, and I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone and allow you to be able to chat, and you can talk with Dr. Lisa D. Smith on this topic of relationship fear, which is the acronym of F-E-A-R, versus relationship sign language. And that's what we're talking about today. And truly, you have an opportunity to share your thoughts. Just press one, and I'll make sure I open the line up so you can share your thoughts. Let's talk about our next segment, which is on relationship sign language. And we broke it down into acronyms. S, the I, the G, the N. It is a language. And people use it intentionally and unintentionally. In relationship, when we say sign language, we're talking about the things that you do. You may not see them as a knock on your relationship skills, but it is. The first thing, you know, we look at the S in the sign language is shame. See, the S, the relationship acronym of S, in sign language, talking about sign, is shame. So usually a sign that you, that I'm sorry, usually it's a sign that your relationship is having some challenges. See, you'll be feeling sensitive. That word come out a lot. You are sensitive, which is, in a sense, you're ashamed about something you have done. And you don't want your partner to know about it. Sometimes you are unappreciated. So you may feel like in your relationship, that partner or your spouse do not appreciate you. They don't do the small things. I always tell people the best way to keep people from feeling shame and feeling out of place in a relationship is do the small thing. The small things like telling them through a card or text. Or call throughout the day. Get a dozen roses. If you get one rose for each day, all month you get a rose for each day. That's 30 roses or 31 roses. The little things will help you avoid this sense or this sign of shame. Normally when something happens and people say something that may be true or say something that makes you look like you're not in the best position or control, you become shamed. And sometimes shameful. See, it leads you to experiencing worry about what your partner think about you. That's what the S in sign language, which is sign language, is shame. See, you'll be worrying about the wrong thing. You also get to the point where you choose not to share your feelings and your thoughts because you're a little bit ashamed, or you fear that your partner will embarrass you. It's a feeling of embarrassment, a fear of embarrassment. See, while you feel ashamed in your relationship, one of the reasons would be because of your interaction with your partner. Sometimes can trigger. Here's what I tell you. We have to seek the support and the counseling so to help us be successful in our relationship. See, when you want, then you'll get yourself in a situation where things that trigger you, which is long held. See, you had held this for so long. It went on 20 years ago, and you still triggered by it 20 years later. Often hidden shame beliefs. Some people are so ashamed to talk about even their upbringing because it may not have been the best upbringing. And then it might be a belief that you have. You don't want people to know that you believe that, so you become shamed. See, a lot of times, even with gender, see, women can feel insecure in their relationship if they don't feel pretty or good enough. And the same thing with men. Men can feel shame in relationship if their role doesn't live to the cultural standard And one of the standards that always ties into men and every woman, with, they may say different, but if they want someone to be their partner or their husband in a marriage, he has to be able to provide and protect. So men are ashamed for what they can't provide and protect. They have a fear, you know, it becomes so tough, they become fearless to the point where they can't take charge. You need to lead. But you can't lead if you don't have nobody to follow. Follow what you're doing. See, shame is truly all about this silent killer of a relationship. Are you in a relationship that shame come up to play and it's a silent killer? And it's involved with your family, with your friends, with your romantic situation, at work, humiliation. On the job, you may say, that dude in charge, the administrator, or whatever he may be, or the director, is humiliating me. You become shameful. Embarrassment. You're embarrassed because things are not going the way you would like it to go. Feeling of low self-esteem. Belittlement. People belittling you. Stigmatization. Stigmatization. It's another thing. Having a stigma. They say in our community, and if I'm not mistaken, this may be Mental Health Month. I may be off past just a little bit. And we have that stigma in our community that we don't supposed to go to seek counseling therapists. Because we always have a funny stigma that if you do, there's something wrong with you. Shame is often experienced as a critical, said it again, as a critical inner voice that judges us as damaged goods. That's what shame is all about. Inadequate. Inferior. Worthless. That's what shame tendency to do in a relationship. It's a sign. It's part of a sign language. You're so ashamed to accept this is what's going on with you. You feel embarrassed. You feel inadequate. You have an inferiority complex. You feel worthless. The next acronym of sign language is the I in sign, which is insult. See, knowing when people get shamed and be embarrassed, they have to come back with the insults. They have to make sure because this, see, a lot of time your insult and your personal insult is an act of emotional violence. It's an act of emotional violence. And according to Maggie Graves, she's a life and relationship coach at modernmarriage.com, she said, belittling is especially destructive. So never ever turn to a phrase like, you are such an idiot. You have no idea what you're doing or what you're talking about. People tend to insult you when they have hurt feelings. That's when they want to insult you. When you hurt their feelings, they're going to have an insult there. Something got to be wrong with you. Anything. They want to counsel you. They want to do stuff. See, sometimes the truth, and I'm saying for all the time, truth will set you free. But it hurts sometimes for some people. And they feel insulted. So they're going to, I mean, they feel hurt. And their emotions and their feelings, and they come back and try to insult you too. All you did was told them and then give them what they wanted. And they come back in a way that they want to literally destroy you. See, other forms of insult, like calling you dramatic? Have you not heard that in your lifetime? She's full of drama. Dramatic. We have a call on the line, and then raised a hand. I want to give them a chance to share their thoughts. This is 6606. Caller, you are live now. Need to get your name. I'm sorry.
My name's Joe. My name is Joe.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. It's good to have you back, Joe. Appreciate you.
How you doing?
I'm all right. And you, Joe?
You know what? You're talking about the symptoms of about what makes a relationship bad. Do you have any kind of recommendations that can be used in order to repair a damaged relationship?
Well, I always recommend, Joe, is seek some sort of support of counseling or either therapy to kind of help repair what you're going on. Because that's the best way, because if we drove it in the ditch, the car, for example, it's going to be hard for us to try to repair it ourselves. That's what I would recommend a lot of times for individuals, because it's available and it's going to put you on the right track. And you know, the person you're going to don't have any skin in the game, so they're going to be able to share from a outside perspective. Yes, sir.
Well, what kind of advice do you think therapists then should recommend? Because if a therapist has, you know, a male, the husband and the wife in front of him, he's going to have differences of opinions. He's going to have different perceptions about what's going on in the marriage or in the relationship. So what kind of advice do you think they should give?
It's amazing that a lot of time our therapists think, when we do have couples in front of them, the best thing is to have effective communication, being able to listen to what your spouse is saying, and both individuals being able to listen to each other, think about what has been said, then come back with some thoughtful dialogue, a thoughtful idea about what you can do to better your relationship. That's one of the things I think is so important. They always bring up some of the things we're dealing with when we're talking about signs, dealing with signs is effective communication is always going to be somewhere close to be talked about in regards to that.
Well, then how do you actually determine and get to and build up effective communication?
First of all, I think one of the really important things, Joe, here, and I think, you see, Joe is interviewing me now. I appreciate that. But to be an effective communicator, you have to work on your active listening skills. And it's a skill to listen. And a lot of times that old saying, when in one ear and when out the other ear, see, you don't have the active listening skills. So to be able to do that first, if you want to have effective communication, because you can't hear, if you don't hear what a person is saying, it's hard to try to respond to them in a manner. If you hear the wrong thing and you feel like you're being shamed or being insulted, then you will come back in a way that might not be positive. So you have to have that first, that active listening skill, and that's practice. See, people think it comes automatically, don't. And you have to be able to sit down and listen to people and be able to think about what's been said, then be able to articulate back to them in a manner that's going to keep the communication ways open and don't create any kind of gaps in there.
Well, I'm one who believes that communication, the key is not the key. Communication is not the key. About 99% of people I'll talk to, they'll always say that, you know, communication is the key. The thing is that we communicate all the time. You don't have to communicate verbally, but people communicate non-verbally about how they feel about each other.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that, yeah, communication is important. But when people say communication is the key, they have a connotation there. That if you know how to communicate, if you can speak English well, if the other person knows how to listen, understands what you're talking about, the relationship's going to be fine. I say, no, it isn't. Because people do not want to listen, and there's a reason for it.
Yep.
They don't want to hear the truth.
Ooh,
if they hear the truth, yeah, then the relationship is going to be broken up.
Yep.
If they want the relationship to be broken up, they can do it easily. You know, I don't want to see you anymore. But when they don't want the relationship to be broken up, but they want it to be better, they don't want to listen. They don't want to have good communication because it means somebody's in the wrong. Like you were talking about before, shame, insults, run drama and stuff like that. They don't want to be accused of that, rightfully or wrongfully. So what I say is we have to get beyond that. The real problem with relationships is ego. The female ego is based upon what society says a woman, you can be weak, you can be a victim, and you can still be powerful. And society tells men, you got to be strong or your women won't love you anymore.
Yeah.
So
yes.
We have to, men and women have to realize that, you know, there are other things that are very good for a relationship. And if you don't bring those things, those qualities to the table, you're gone. Bye-bye. So long. Hasta la vista. You know?
Yes, sir.
My thing is you got to bring appreciation, respect, and gratitude. Now, of course, what you should say to me is, well, how do you do that, Joe? You know? But that's kind of hard to do. You got to have a strong ego. You've got to be able to realize that, you know, just because somebody criticizes you, if it's constructive criticism, accept it and then change. But the ego gets in the way. So my thing is, how do we repair the ego so that people can have healthy relationships? And I don't think a lot of counselors know how to do that.
And to add something to that, Joe, I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, at one time, I don't know whether you have heard this. I know I heard this pretty well. They talk about between the two genders. You know, they always say women are emotional and men, you know, all about the ego part. But the thing about it, like you said, it's hard to repair something you don't quite understand. And a lot of counselors are not in the business of trying to repair your ego. That's going to have to be one of those self-journeys that you're going to have to work on as well. Yeah, we can talk with people, but we have to identify what is going on with ourselves first. Once we do that, then we get to put some things into place. And it makes the job of the counselor, the therapist, a lot easier when I kind of understand I'm able to assess myself to see where I am, and I can may not have the tools to make the adjustment. The counselor might come up with some things that may be able to help me, but I just got to be willing. One of the biggest things is having the will to listen and willing to do the work and put the work in. Effort is so important. So it's hard to, with ego, it's hard to repair because a lot of us live off that. We want to have a notch on our belt. We run around. Our ego, we want to stroke every day. And you can't be stroked every day unless you're stroking yourself every day. So that's one of the things that makes ego, what a big challenge in the relationship and in just life in general.
Oh, yeah. I just finished watching a documentary about Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
And they had ego problems. His ego was that he wasn't as well known after a while, or sold as many records as Whitney Houston. So,
yep.
Of course, he felt like society told him, you know, you should be the man, you should make all the money, you should be the one that the woman should lead on. But he's got a woman who's more powerful than him in the industry, more successful, more popular. So
yep.
All he had to do was, you know, accept it.
Yep.
Now, if he could accept it, that would take care of his part. Now, she had ego problems because she was traumatized by her childhood.
Yep.
You know? So
yep.
she was feeling like unworthy of her accomplishments. She had to realize that you put in the time, you put in the effort, you sold these millions of records, you deserve it.
Yep.
If they could reconcile that, plus some other, of course, internal problems, then, you know, they would have gotten along better. And that, you know, and I'm bringing them up because that's symptomatic of just about every kind of relationship that's out here, you know. People are thinking, you know, something is wrong. What the hell is wrong? You know, yeah, and I agree with you. We have to take a look inside ourselves, find out what's wrong with what we're giving to the relationship, and then help the other person overcome their trauma. Two people can help each other, be willing to, right, and be able to accept criticism. I think relationships can get along a lot better.
Exactly. And I agree with you 100% on that end. And truly, I tell you, Joe, I always appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts. And it's always good to be able to communicate with you. And I'm glued to this listening because you offer some awesome, awesome ideals and some great points. So I do appreciate you, Joe, for joining us. And you can continue to listen if you want to on this same avenue. But we're getting close to the closing of the show hour now. And I want to get on out of here. Kind of went over a little bit tonight. But I do thank you. But join us because we have other shows that we're going to have. And I make sure I post and get them out so you can be a part of whenever you want to be a part of. I do appreciate you, John.
All right. Well, thanks then. Okay. So I'll let you get back to the show. And until next time. Take care now.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
All right. Be safe. Bye. That was awesome. I thank Joe so much for joining us. You'll always come and offer some awesome information that helps us to propel what we want to be. See, when we're talking about emotions and we're talking about ego and we're talking about those various things, it comes into play with your fear. And it also adds to your signs. As we're moving forth on that sign, we got finished up with the acronym dealing with signs, is having the ability to deal with that G. See, one of the things is guilt. See, whenever something comes at you and it affects that emotion, come at you as an emotional state for you, you begin to believe that, you know, there's a sense of guilt because it violates your moral standards along with just bearing responsibility for the past. The distress felt when you have done a harmful thing to even the people that you love and the people you care about. So a lot of times you feel guilty about it. I'm feeling bad by it. So I become stressed about it. And I don't understand, but I do know that I've done harm to you. So sign language includes the G, which is guilt. You're feeling guilty about what you didn't do, or you could have been better at what you're doing, or you could have just simply put in the great effort into to the point so you won't feel like that you are unworthy to receive what God has blessed for you. Because God knows what you need. He has the plan for each and every one of them. Let me give a shout out to Brother Anthony Brakey. Thank you, Brother Brakey. You know, he got AW, bro. Hey, that's Anthony White. We call Anthony White, boy. That's what we call. He's on the line. Truly back in the 80s at Alabama State University, Gamma Beta Chapter. Thank you so much, Anthony, for joining us. He's a member also of Theta Phi Sigma Chapter of Greenville, Alabama, and that's the most progressive chapter of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. Thank you, Brother Brakey, for joining us. And thank you, Joe, for sharing them awesome thoughts. And just sharing it, just having your input into what we're trying to do here. And after guilt, you have the end. You know what it is? Need to be right. That's a sign language. That's a sign that bothers you. Because when you're wrong, no one wants to say I'm wrong. They have to be right. So they'll keep on moving the goalposts when they're talking with you. They'll try to change up and deflect from what you're talking about, because they need to be right. See, a need to be right sometimes is misunderstood for some people. Because when they say, I need to be right, at every cost, you will literally destroy people that follow you just so you can be right. But you also can have a strategy that allows you to hurt people as well. That old saying, hurt people, hurt people. So if you hurt, if you need to be right, you don't care who you hurt. Because you just want to be right no matter what's going on. You could be just dead wrong, but you're going to be right. That's almost like if you see someone doing something and then you say something to them, And they'll say, you didn't see me. So what are you saying? My eyes are lying to me? That's because they need to be right. They don't want to be caught in a place that makes them look like they're wrong. You want to be right all the time. And it's impossible for you or I to be right all the time. So the sign language allows you to truly, see, people got to understand, in a relationship, that need to be right can destroy your relationship. If you want to destroy it, just keep on with that. I need to be right. I'm going to be right at every cause. I'm going to be right all the time. And most time, you know what it causes in your relationship, in your marriage, when you need to be right? It causes bickering, arguments. Remember we talked about the A in the relationship fear, argumentative, stonewalling, a lot of waste time because that person's saying, I need to be right. It also is one of those negative communication strategy that does nothing to help your relationship. It destroys your relationship. That's your need to be right. Now, as we close out, we want to give a shout out to our last sponsor. We have to make sure we give them, you know, a true shout out every opportunity we can have because they help pay some of these bills around here. And we have to pay some bills around here. We can't give away all these trips and all that unless we have our sponsors to be heard. And this is truly an opportunity for we give a shout out to our co-sponsor of our shows, and that's the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Zeta Phi Sigma chapter of Greenville, Alabama. And truly, this is what they said. They lead and they never follow. This is their appointment.
It's indeed a pleasure to talk about the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Sigma chapter in Greenville, Alabama. The most progressive Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. They're providing service. They're standing up to the motto, culture for service and service for humanity. If you want to contact those brothers, you can go to Facebook, Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville, or you can go to Instagram, and that's Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10. And if you want to tweet those brothers, that's Zeta Phi Sigma _ 10. Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, we're proud of you. Make it do what it do.
Come on out, brother. Thank you so much, brother, for being a part of this. Thank you for Facebook, Instagram, they're on LinkedIn, they're on Tumblr, they're on all of those social media outlets. See what those brothers are doing. They're doing some awesome things down in Greenville, Alabama. And our last segment is going to be about 5 minutes, is how do FEAR, which is the acronym of F-E-A-R, and sign language, which the sign is S-I-G-N. We just shared all of those things, destroys a relationship in America. First of all, fear, and we're going to put it together. All of the things we talked about, being frightened, truly emotional, immature, having an attitude or argumentative or resentment will lead to destroying a relationship and a marriage. No matter what you do, that fear will always come into play. Fear is insecurity. Fear is not being able to deal with reality. You're operating on your feelings. You're upset. You have an attitude. And then when you get to the sign language, as we talked about the sign language, it is so important that we keep in mind, if you're caught up in shame, shame is an obstacle to the growth of the growth of intimacy. It's an obstacle for the growth of intimacy. In a loving, caring, long-lasting relationship. See, it's kind of difficult to intentionally address your emotional challenges when you fully have a knowledge, and this is all about science, that you have conflict, you have tension in your relationship, and you're isolated. You're truly not present for your partner or for yourself or for the relationship. Shame that destroys marriage by leaving a spouse not feeling good enough. It can sabotage a healthy relationship and cause a person to want to leave. Insults when said. It destroys a marriage because it becomes a conversation killer. You insult someone. Guilt is from low self-esteem, and it eventually will sabotage your relationship. The need to be right in a marriage or a relationship. Relationship is more important than being right. If you want to destroy it and you focus on needing to be right, you want to be the smartest person in the room, don't want to hear anybody else, it will destroy a marriage and a relationship. And you become so prideful that you can't give an inch. You always want to justify the decision that you make. You know, it's you. A marriage is a team. It should be us. And if you're not willing to do that, it's going to destroy a marriage. So the bottom line is the relationship fear, and that's that F-E-A-R acronym for fear, and sign, S-I-G-N language, will completely destroy your marriage, your relationship. You might as well get ready for short term, because it won't be long term. It won't be long lasting. I really appreciate everybody joining us today. It's been awesome. Give a shout out to Texas State Sigmas. Thank you to Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And you have Chef_Hill with the number 22. My brother, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Epsilon Theta Sigma chapter in Hayneville, Alabama. Thank you so much, brother, for being a part of it. Selma in Hayneville, Alabama, thank you for being a part of it, brother. Truly has been awesome tonight. And I want you to keep in mind in your relationship, in your marriage, a couple things that are so important when you're dealing with fear and sign language. Don't have the fear of failing. If you do, you will lack the most important thing that you desire is companionship. If you know you are not right about things and you use sign language like shaming people or trying to counsel them, insulting them, the guilt that you have because you found out that truth do hurt, but the truth is real and need to be right, will not allow you to be successful. You're talking about why I'm not successful in relationship, I'm not successful in marriages. It's because of you have a fear of falling in love. You have a fear of it not working, the relationship, and you rely on sign language to help promote your ability to operate in life. It's been awesome being here, my brother and my sisters. So God bless us to be able to communicate with each other. You are my brother. You are my sister. I truly tell you I love you all. I love you because it's from my heart. The hashtag we want you to remember. One life matter, along with responsible. There are many more we have, but those are the two I'm going to leave with you tonight. We're going to come back here on Tuesday, and we are going to have an awesome time with the Dr. Lowe Show. And that'll be our show of the month. I'm telling you, it's a relationship. It's a real relationship talk show with no filters. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be looking to get our sports talk show, Talking Sports Plus Prime Time, back in existence. Most likely at 7:30 p.m., the team that we're still working to make sure that's in the play. And then we'll come back with the Love Cafe, and along with Happy Hours on Friday. On this Friday, which is tomorrow, we're going to be doing a show called Balling with the Doc, which we've been doing. We kicked that off 2 weeks ago. So we're Balling with the Doc, and we're going to talk about the sports, the hottest sports topics of today. Check us out. The time for that show tomorrow is 3:30. So put your meat in the seat. Beat me now. And we'll be there together. Have an awesome rest of the evening. I truly, truly want to thank you for what all you have done. We couldn't be able to celebrate on the 27th of this month, the 6-year anniversary, without each and every one of you all. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my sister. God has been so good. He allowed us to come together and this vision to continue to grow. This vision to continue to put us in a better situation. Thank you. We're interactive. Thank all of the social media authors and what they allow us to do on here. Truly, thank you so much. I am enthused. I'm excited. I have joy in my heart because I know we are hurting. And we have listeners and watchers in 40 countries. And we're WBSW Radio, the internet station. And we're number one. And we're so glad to be able to say we're number one. I tell you, one of the most important things, and I'm going to play something that upbeat. See, we came here to lay it down today. We talked about relationship fear and sign language, and it touched someone somewhere. So it's going down from this point on. You're going to be very careful, and you're going to say relationship fear. Am I fear of falling in love? Am I fear of being in a relationship? Am I fear of commitment? Or the sign language, I am ashamed, I'm using shame. Think about it. Assess yourself. So we're going to play this music. We don't own the rights to it, but we want to play it because it's been going down. It's going to continue to go down. Tomorrow we're going to talk to some historical black college and university football. We're going to give a shout-out to Alabama State University with a successful win on last Saturday and the Labor Day Classic. They moved up from the 11th spot, if I remember. Now they're number 3 in historical black colleges power ranking. So they look to improve this weekend against Miles College at Alabama State University and ASU Stadium. So continue doing what you're doing. Shout out to all the other schools in North Carolina Central who's holding number 1. And a shout out to FAMU, Florida A&M University, for their winning the Orange Blossom Classic down in Miami Garden. I'm about to say Miami, but Miami Garden. And they were successful by beating Jackson State University. It's been awesome. So it's going down. Sports is here. Football is here. We're coming hard with our show. We're going to make it do what it do. We're giving away our trips to, we're going to give away the hotel stay for the trip. You'll take care of how you get there. And we're going to be looking at doing our anniversary trip to Dubai and the trip to Paris, France, that we're going to pay for the hotel. You have to make the other arrangements. I got people say, are you going to do that? Make sure I get my name in. How you register for that is just send me your name along with a means of transaction. I'll put you in the raffle and we'll spend the ball or whatever it is and make sure we pull the name out. And if you're a winner, then you'll have the other information come once you win. Have an awesome rest of the night and an awesome Friday. And we'll see you at 3:30 tomorrow, Balling with the Dollar. That sports talk show that has swag. So I'm going to say that I have something for you after we listen to this. It's going down now.
This is Need to Be.
Here we go again. Here we go. Get on Phil USA. You know I go by the name Nitty, right? I gotta introduce y'all another motherfucker out of my squad, right?
Who is this nigga, man?
This nigga go by the name of Jock. He resides in College Park, right?
College Park,
CP. But for right now, what we gotta do for y'all, what we gonna do? We gotta give y'all a hit, huh?
Niggas in my face.